He hastens and chastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing, sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. As long as you're standing, let's greet one another with God's peace. You probably noticed that our organist is gone this morning, and she knew she was going to be gone, so she asked if I could fill in with my little guitar, and I said, sure. So thank you for being here. Thank you for singing together. It is on, but you know, that's the dead corner over there. I mean, it is. It's. I don't mean literally dead, but the sound is... Yeah, really, there's better places to sit if you really want to hear. And you have permission to find those. I don't know exactly where they are. I'm not going to wear that this morning. But anyway, where was I now? There's some mistakes in the bulletin, I guess. No way. I corrected the board, I think. It's not... 757, it's 767, then we do 143, and then we added 34, which is our prayer hymn. I think maybe that's all I need to say about the mistakes. We all make them, and I think we've got it corrected. Joys, concerns. Anyone? Anything? Yeah.
I was able to get here today. Yes. Such a joy to be back.
Yes. And joy to have you here. Right. She's learning how to fall better all the time. Mm-hmm. Other joys and concerns? Okay, then let's go ahead with our service. I want to say there is Sunday school next week, correct? As far as we know. John, you know anything about that? Yeah, next week. And of course, next Sunday is the beginning of Advent, and we have readers for the first three candles, hope, peace, and love. Then we still need someone, hope, peace, and joy, but we still need someone for love. And then, of course, that takes us to the Christmas program. And I'm assuming, Dana, you'll need or want some Sunday school people to light the candles for that service. Dana always puts together a very nice Christmas Eve children's Christmas program, so thank you. So that's all I have here. Let's proceed then with our call to worship, or was there another? Can you hear better over there now? Yeah, see? Okay, much better. There we go. Our call to worship goes like this. All right. Bless God, all people of faith and hope. God has looked on us with great favor. God is our refuge and strength in times of trouble. God is our guide and inspiration when things go well. God gives light to those who live in the shadows. God offers stillness amid the turbulence of our times. We live in covenant with God, who gives us the best. We are eager to give our best to God in return. And by the tender mercy of our God, we meet for worship. For God has brought the dawn of a new day for our use. Praise God for signs and wonders all around us. Praise God for peace and reconciliation. Most of which is words from Psalm 46 today. Let's say together our prayer of invocation, giving voice to hopefully what's in our hearts. So together we say that we worship you with gladness, O God, our shepherd, for you have gathered us as your beloved flock. You have sent a mighty Savior who has demonstrated among us the power of love. Send your Spirit now to remind us of your gifts and to strengthen us for our tasks. May we show our loyalty to Christ by the way we live every day. Amen. The first hymn is For All the Saints, 767. I could also say this, because I can't sing this song and not think of my mom. It was her favorite hymn. My mother, Carol, died about, 7 or 8 years ago.
For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia.
Oh, blessed. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. We're doing stanza 1, then we're skipping to 4, 5, and 6. Stanza 4.
Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one, therefore all are thine. Glorious day, the saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of peril, streams with countless hosts, singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
That takes us to our service at Tenebra. And James is coming up here. He's going to help me with that responsive reading in a minute or two. I did a little research on that. It's so easy just to punch a little button and say to your phone, when did this Totenfest start happening in the life of the church. Come to find out, it was many, many years ago. And especially out of the evangelical church, the evangelical Lutheran at the time. And then it became the evangelical church in places who in the 30s merged with the Reformed Church and became the E&R Church, of which this church has its background, the E Church and then the E&R. And then they joined with the Congregational Christian Churches to become the United Church of Christ in 1957. But it goes all the way back to Germany, the church, and something they would do to remember those who had passed on. And we continue that service to remember members in our church in the past year that have died. And so as I say the name of one and turn, two and three, of the people that we are remembering, the bell is tolled with one pull, and it's a different tone. It's called the tolling bell that strikes. Simple, somber, to remember the life. First of all, we remember the life of Phyllis Lemke. Phyllis Gertrude Schmitz Lemke was born on April 11, 1937 at the family home in Bongards, Minnesota, the daughter of Oscar and Agnes Schug Schmitz. Phyllis was baptized as an infant and was later confirmed in her faith as a youth, both at St. John's Evangelical and Reformed Church in Bongards. She received her education in Norwood, Young America, Minnesota, and graduated with the Central High School class of 1955. On June 1st, 1957, Phyllis was united in marriage to Howard Glenn Lemke by Reverend P.H. Franzmeier at St. John's Evangelical and Reformed Church in Benton Township, Norwood, Minnesota. Howard and Phyllis made their home in Plato here, and the marriage was blessed with five children, Greg, Daniel, Patricia, Rob, and Ryan. They celebrated over 63 years of marriage when Howard passed away on June 5th, 2020. She worked various jobs throughout the years. She was employed at Lynn's Supper Club, Litfin Building, Super Value, long-term care at Glencoe Regional Health Services. And prior to retiring, she worked as a professional housekeeper. She was active and a faithful member at St. Paul's United Church of Christ here in Plato. Phyllis enjoyed spending time in her garden, relaxing with a good book and coloring. She also enjoyed traveling and dining out at restaurants. Phyllis greatly cherished spending time with her family, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and friends. Phyllis Lemke. I always remember visiting her room at Glencoe Care Center, and it was decorated so nicely by her family with pictures and things she had drawn and colored. Next, we toll a bell, and we remember the life of David Schutte. I'm sorry, we don't have any biographical information on David, but there is a picture out there in the entrance as you came in, perhaps you saw it, of a deer, indicating that David was an outdoors person. He loved to hunt and fish and other things as well. But we go to Carla Kuhlman. Carla Christine Kuhlman was born May 4, 1952 to Edwin and Eunice Wietrich. Her mother, Eunice, was born a wolf, that's the W-O-L-F-E, and grew up on what is now Westwood Farm in Plato. Ironically, Carla was terrified of horses, exclamation point. And as you know, that's one of the horse farms now. After graduating from Glencoe High School, she attended St. Cloud State University, where she met Kent, a Navy Vietnam veteran who was also a student. They married on May 19, 1973, and resided for many years in Glencoe and then Waconia. In her years here at St. Paul's, Carla served on the Church Council, the Expansion Committee, and the Evangelism Committee. She was the supreme organizer, and her skills and enthusiasm contributed greatly to these groups and to the church. Carla was an accomplished photographer and shared that talent to bless her family and friends with incredible photos and whole albums of photos. She was full of life, always ready to experience fun, mischief, and adventure. She loved music and dancing. If she was not busy with photo projects, she was sewing beautiful outfits for her granddaughter's American Girl dolls. Carla passed away peacefully at home on November 24th of this year, 2025, with Kent by her side. She is survived by her loving husband, Kent, daughters Christina and Heidi, whose husband is Rob, four accomplished adult grandchildren, her sisters and brother, as well as many, many friends, of all whom miss her greatly. You're dancing with Jesus now, Carla. She loved to dance. You have a litany and prayers for remembrance that is in your bulletin. I've asked James to help me with this. He's going to be the leader, and then together we will be the people. These are all words from Scripture and very similar to words used in that first evangelical church in Germany, only in English now. James?
Blessed are the dead who from now on die in Christ.
They will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them.
We do not want you to be uninformed about those who have died,
so that you may not grieve as others who have no hope.
For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again,
even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.
But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?
When you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed.
But God gives a body as God has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body.
It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body.
For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body put on immortality.
For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you.
I will not leave you orphaned. I am counting on you.
The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and remind you all that I said to you.
Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live.
And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die.
For God created us for incorruption and made us in the image of God's own eternity.
The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them.
They are at peace, and their hope is full of immortality.
Because God tested them and found them worthy. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Jesus comes before Pilate. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Then Pilate asked him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no case against this man. Here ends the word of the Lord.
When I called Brenda this week to tell her, to talk about the bulletin for Sunday, she, of course, wants to know the title. So I said the title would be, What Kind of King is Jesus? And I kind of heard her laugh a little bit. And she said, you know, that's the same title that you had a year ago. Now, I don't know how she remembered that or she looked it up quickly on her screen. I don't know. And I said, Oh, really? But there's more to it. More to it than that. And I thought I'd... What kind of king? Yes, Jesus was a kind king. But what kind of king? Yes, a kind king, but there's more. He's a king of something. Now, I don't have the same bulletin you have. I just have one that came in the email and it didn't print the back. But on the back, there's a hint, and I want to see if anyone can discover it, that what Jesus might be the king of. So you'd have to look for the line somewhere towards the bottom of the back page that says something like, consider on this holiday season, be thinking about you, what you might do to show God's. And I'm trying to lead you into someone blurting out the answer. First of all, you'd look for the word king. And is it an actual word that stands by itself? Or is it the ending of one word? Anyone have it? Be thinking, right? And then what's the next one? Be thinking. Two-letter word. Of. King of
what?
What? I didn't catch that.
What?
King of what? Ooh, you hit it. You had it. King of sounds rhymes with of, kind of. Love, there it is. The king of love, my shepherd is. Do we sing that hymn ever here? I brought my hymnal that used to belong to my dad, and it has two songs. It's The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Now this tune, da da da, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, whose goodness faileth never, I nothing lack, and I am his, and he is mine forever. Familiar with that tune? Or how about this one? The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. two tunes. One's number 79 in the Pilgrim Hymnal of years ago, Nuns of 80. Which is your favorite one, the first one I sang or the second one?
The second.
You like, we like that Irish one, don't we, Jim? Yep. But the other one's good too, the King of Love, my shepherd is. Indeed. I know some of you discover that. I didn't have to work that hard. You wanted to see me work hard to try and pull that out of you. By thinking of what you might do to express your love for God this holiday season. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? I like to substitute the word trust for believe. We trust in Jesus to walk with us on the way. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're all linked together. The way is the truth, is the way. The way is the life, is the truth, is the way. An answer to Pilate's question, who leaves, what is truth? Jesus said, don't you know, can't you see it? I am the truth, the life, the way. Lead the way. Jesus walks with us on the way of nonviolent love, for friend and foe. I know you've heard this 1,000 times, probably, most of you, and I've heard it probably a few hundred times, but I have to go to this to remind myself time and time again what is love. And there's no better way than in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through almost 8. The gift of love, it's called. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Hopes all things. I forgot that too. Bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 is a song too. And probably we've all sung songs that take their text either directly or indirectly out of 1 Corinthians 13. No better description. What kind of king is Jesus? Mentioned the way he was had been saying he was to die. Actually, that being lifted up. Isaiah first alluded to that. The suffering servant of Israel was to be lifted up. In other words, have a death on the cross. And so many Jews and many of the Jewish authorities were upset with Jesus for a number of reasons. But they could have stoned him to death. That would have been all right if he, especially was claiming, some said, that he was Messiah, claiming he was God. Some felt, yeah. But others said, no, God wouldn't act like this. go into our temple and overthrow the tables, let the sacrificial animals, and then go and then talk about the temple being destroyed in 3 days. And if it were, he would have come in on a horse pulled by a chariot and have a... But what did he say? My kingdom is not of this world, and otherwise my followers would fight. We know that. But to die for that? Now I want to back up just a little bit in the Gospel of John before James read the portion today, where he goes into this a little bit more, where he speaks about his death. Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. Others heard it as well. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." And the crowd standing there heard it and said, "It was thunder." Others said, "An angel has spoken." And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." So they couldn't stone him to death for blasphemy. They had to get rid of him. They had to lift him up, and they had to go and let Rome do this. Only Rome, the occupying government and troops, permitted crucifixion. So he was arrested and tried, found guilty. Although Pilate said, "I don't know what he did wrong. Why do you have him here? We want him crucified." He said, this king? And then they said something crowdy. We don't know how big that crowd was. But anyway, there was many that said, "Crucify him, because he's not a king. We have no king by Caesar." And that was blasphemy for a Jew to say that. Caesar's our king. And here's Jesus, because he claimed to be the king. But they couldn't acknowledge that. So Pilate was put in a pretty tough spot. He was darned if he did and darned if he didn't. So finally he said, "Okay, go ahead and bring the soldiers in and crucify him." But Jesus didn't say a lot. Notice how he would answer a question with a question. "You're a king?" "You say I am." "And by the way, who told you this?" You know, questions and questions. Didn't say much, ask a few questions, and then was quiet. Until he was lifted up. He said some strange things. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." "Yes, don't worry. I know you've done some bad things. But today you'll be with me in paradise," he said to the thief. Things like that. The thing I remember the most was when he said, "It is finished," meaning to me anyway, this idea of crucifying people, of violence. There's no power in that. It's finished. When you hear and see Jesus on the cross, sometimes churches have crucifixes. I don't know, that never does too much to me, but it makes we think how he died for our sins. It's got to turn something over inside us, some compassion. He says, yeah, I want a Savior like that. I was in a discussion this past week with our coffee group meets, and I don't know how the subject came about, but Jesus, the subject came out that wasn't clergy that were together, but I was the only pastor there, and talked about love and how Jesus was love, and God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And one of the participants, I think he was kidding because he likes to make you think, he said, yeah, he loved, but you know what happened to him, meaning he died. But then I looked at him and I says, yeah, but finish the story. And then he knew, of course, that he was probably ready to finish it himself. Couldn't keep him down. He came to life, spent some time here on earth with the ones that loved him, ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back to us. Yay. Love won out. Love wins out in the end. Went for a little bike ride yesterday, and I noticed a whole bunch of cars over by St. Anastasia Catholic Church. Then I remembered, oh, that's that big funeral. It was packed and overflowed into the streets. Amber Check, name ring a bell, murdered at work about a week and a half ago, 6 a.m. Some guy 20 years older than her didn't like her. He admitted it. Says, I've been wanting to kill her for a long time. Hit her over the head several times with a hammer. It's on camera. Not that I saw it or anyone sees it. The public, I mean. But it's a big funeral for her, Amber. So I went inside, and I think it was a brother and a sister that were talking about her. And the gist of the message of their talk was, she lives on. And she's an inspiration to us, yet. Sad, terrible, but yet somehow love goes on. Maybe you've heard it said, it was a movie many years ago, love means never having to say you're sorry. I take some issue with that. I say sometimes it's the only thing you can say in the midst of tragedy and grief. Someone has lost one close to them. I'm so sorry. And that's enough. But let's continue to worship. We have a prayer hymn, and it's we're going to sing This Is My Father's World first, yeah. That's 143. This is my Father's world.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and sea, his and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though a wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. My battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. And earth and heaven be one.
Dear God, we pray together as one people, joining others from all around the world who play and pray in many different ways, and play and work. But within each human soul there is desire to reach out beyond ourselves for inspiration, for love, for recognition, for cherishing others, and for being cherished ourselves. Help us to be instruments of your peace. Help us to treat others with fairness, to share our talents and skills and money, and of course to receive from others as well. We remember those who have gone on before in this church the past year and years past, and to help make us into who we are today. We thank them for that memory which we have. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, so forth, so on, children, sons, daughters, perhaps. We give thanks to you and praise. Let's sing a little bit of that one song that's in your in the hymnal, 34. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is.
every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Let's pray together the words of Jesus, who said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee Let's stand as we sing, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above you, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Join me in saying, for the saving faithfulness of Jesus Christ, we give thanks. For the church that seeks to extend Christ's ministry, we are humbly grateful. All things we have are gifts from you, O God. So we dedicate more than our money. We invest ourselves in patient, joyful response to your promises. Hear our prayers and empower our ministry. So be it. We give thee but thine own, whatever gift may be. All that we have is yours alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen.
End our service with a hymn that, I've said this before, was written by Martin Rinkhart in the midst of the Hundred Years' War in Germany, where many people came to this one city to seek refuge. But there was disease. Many of them died in that city of disease. But he wrote this song in the midst of all that sorrow and intended it to be sung by his family around the dinner table. Now thank we all our God.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, whose wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arm has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer. Keep.
keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed and to free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, Creator, now begin. The Son and Him who reigns, the Him in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore, and shall be evermore. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.